Cioè, te abbiamo buono.
W4DJW, KN4VWA. What's happening, Dave?
Hey, have you talked to KV4CVA?
I haven't caught David on here in a while. I barely catch him once in a while just as he's getting out of his vehicle to go in and play tennis or when he's getting home, but I haven't talked to him, no.
Well, he picked up M4IQ's spectrum, so that's good. He's not going to try to make that 72 megahertz stuff work. That's really good.
That is good. Well, so we got a radio from N4IQ. That's Bob or Phil?
Bill, V-I-L-L, Bravo, India, Lima, Lima.
Right. He's the one with the brother, right?
The twin brother, named Phil.
That's right. That's where I get it confused. And they're both hams.
Absolutely. And they're both really, really good hams. They're just not average hams. They're top-notch.
But, all right, so did he get he got a radio and a receiver?
I don't know how much he got. I was wondering the same thing. How many did he get digital servos to come with that and a receiver? And is it one of those receivers that has that, autopilot, but stabilizer stuff in it? Is it an easy one or is it a complicated one? I don't know any of those yet. I was in the grocery store, walking through the grocery store, and my phone dinged in, and he told me he picked it up. So all I did was send him a thumbs up. I didn't have time to chat. But we'll find out more when he gets on here.
Good. Now, you know what kind of pilot I am. So you are going to be the designated trainer.
You know what? I was reading about I was watching one of those flight test videos. They have now out there a transmitter that does Bluetooth trainer cord. You don't have to have the trainer cord connecting you together. So if it gets too low, like that time you were out there and I said, that's kind of low, and you pulled it up about 6 feet from planet Earth. Remember that? I would have taken it away a long time before that.
Okay. Well, it's called safe mode. It just depends on the receiver, because that's built into the receiver.
I don't know how that works. It's you could. I mean, there's multiple. There's been a lot of inventions over the years to make that process smoother. Anyway, I'm backing in the garage with a trunk full of groceries. I got to do some unloading. But I've got everything finished today, the pins included, the guide pins that guide the, that was the last thing I had to do, that guides the, what does he call it, your power pod, I think, your swappable power pod to your individual airplanes. So I had to put those pins in there so that you could plug the power pod on. That was the last thing I had to do on 10 fuselage. And I've got like 8 airplanes worth of tail feathers and no wings, so I'm going to start building some wings now. And that'll mean I'll be able to assemble a pod and put a wing on it and go fly.
That's great. Well, look, at any point that you feel comfortable enough and you want some help, man, I'm available. And by the way, a little tidbit. My brother bought a DX-6E from Jim Mayer up at the field, and it had the dongle for the flight simulator software, and I'm getting him a copy of the software, and he's going to be all set to do the flight simulator. And he found a he's really buying too much airplane, but he bought he's in the process of buying a turbo timber, 1.5 meter with flaps and everything. It's very similar to my mall. So he's all fired up. The bug has bit him.
That's good, as long as he takes it nice and slow. But he's already experienced one dent, right? One time smacking the earth unexpectedly. So that, or maybe that was your son that did that. I can't remember. But anyway, I think what David got was something very similar to that. It had a 6 and an E in it as well. I don't remember if it had what came before the 6 and the E, but it was a spectrum something 6E. So now you know what he, so if you saw that radio, you know what David Cole's got. Anyway, I got to unload groceries. So think about building a wing and putting on these parts on it, and we'll be ready to go fly. Somehow we got to build some wings. I can't do the wings on the CNC table. They're too big. Anyway, and we do need to machine the slots for the control horns to sink down into the foam so they're not sitting on top of the paper. Think about that, too. We've got to figure out how we're going to do that. W4DJW.
Rajo. Hey, just give me a call when you want to get together. And, you know, I've got a nice, large, open bench or a table we can do that on, and we can get it knocked out. So 73, just get your groceries in. I'll talk to you soon. KN4VWA. I'm clear.
Sounds good. W4DJW, clear.
Playing you today, N4DJC.
Couldn't have gone up in a private plane, a full scale today. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Up there where we live, and I ran up to Asheville today, too. Man, it was so windy. It was blowing my 2500 Ram diesel truck around.
Not that bad down here, but it might have been. I wasn't out a lot. They were out on the 5 noon today. They came back in about 6-ish. Fed them some tacos, but they didn't complain about the wind. But it was windy earlier today. I know that about lunchtime it was pretty windy out there. But I know you get up a little bit higher elevation, get out in the open, it's a little more violent.
Well, I tell you what, my wife and I were sitting at a traffic light in Asheville, just off of 40 up there near the Four Seasons Mall, and I was sitting still. And I could feel the truck moving around. And my Dodge Ram truck is not light. It's a diesel. It's heavy. And it was moving it around.
In that kind of weather, for sure, then, you can blow them all over everything. That's all I think about this time of the year. It gets so blustery that wind will come up, and then, you know, maybe in May it'll die down a little bit, and then we'll start, and all of a sudden it'll get rained out, and it gets good part of the weather down here. Because it gets hot, you can't hardly stand to be out there unless it's almost dusk.
The Romans called it the Ides of March. And man, we got them. This year, I've noticed that it's been windy for weeks.
To go fly fishing for trout about this time of the year, and there's so many days I couldn't get out because it was so windy you couldn't cast a fly. And it was hard enough casting regular lure, but flies were just totally out unless you were in a, you know, a little small creek somewhere down, you know, really protected. It's really the best time of year for us to fish for native trout, but a lot of times we just couldn't get out there because it was a dead-gum wind, you couldn't cast the line. And it seems like it's been like that for the last 4, 5, 6 years, I guess. And I don't remember being as windy as it is in April, or like, you know, this late in April, though.
A more important subject. Where do you fly fish around here? Lakes or streams?
To go. I used to fish the Chattooga a lot back in the 60s. I started fly fishing about 65 or so. I used to fish the Chattooga before it got, Port Deliverance made it a destination. And, you know, the last times, I hadn't been in several years, I guess, Steve. My eyesight's not that great, and I just hadn't been out that place. But where I always enjoyed fishing was on the way down to the Chattooga on Forest Service Road 708. There's a little creek down there called King's Creek, and you'll cross over it. It goes through like a culvert. You cross over and you're right to the right there is where a lot of people used to camp when they had the bear hunts there in that game zone. And that That stream was electroshocked probably about 8 or 9 years ago, and they took all the rainbows and browns out of it. It's got nothing but native Appalachian stream brook trout in it now. They brought them in from the Slick Rock Wilderness, and those are all native fish, and this pure Appalachian stream, which you don't see anymore. They're not very big either. A big one's probably about 7 or 8 inches long, but you have to crawl on your hands and knees to get in. That was always my idea of. It really would fly fishing more like that than anything else, but I love to catch native brook trout. The other spot, of course, is up there at Jones Gap. I enjoy fishing Jones Gap, too. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Now, best trout fishing you ever did, where?
Best I've ever done as far as fly fishing was probably, I want to say the South Toe probably, I guess.
Best fly fishing I have ever had. Cutthroat trout, south of Yellowstone, Snake River. It was amazing.
And west, about as far west as I've ever gone is Texas. And there's a, just outside of San Antonio, there's a reservoir there that fills in, that it dumps into part of the Guadalupe River. It's all limestone. It looks like a trout fisher from Pennsylvania. They stock trout in that during the wintertime. That was a lot of fun too. The water was always cold, and you know, those limestone streams, they're just gorgeous. They don't look anything like what our streams do here. But I was supposed to give several times back in the 90s to Wyoming and fish with one of my buddies, but I just couldn't. My parents weren't doing very well, and I just couldn't take a break for a week to do it. But they consider brook trout almost trash fish, and because they're not native there like the cuts and the rainbows are. And I've seen some nice golden trout too come out of California. That'd be a cool fish.
Yeah, no, I've never set foot in California. I tell you, these days, there ain't nothing in California I need. But as far as fishing, fly fishing in the West, oh my goodness. Snake River, Wyoming, or down just south of there, there's a couple of rivers down there, in towards Colorado. Ooh, baby, all fast water. And it's gorgeous.
Not either hunting or fishing in the West, you always got to deal with the wind, it seems like. It doesn't matter. Actually, I've never fished in Wyoming, but I have hunted antelope there back years ago. But it's one of those things where you just got to deal with it. You know, there's nothing to break the wind out there. If it starts, it keeps on going. But Yellowstone, that'd be a great, you know, snake would be a good place to fish, but that's kind of out of my league. I like to wade or walk along the bank, and you know, you got to do that in a drift boat. I never have fished out of a drift boat, but I don't know whether I'd like it or not. I might or may not.
Well, now there's a bunch of places along the Snake River where you can wade or fish, and I mean it's like I said, I've drifted and I've waded, and either way, I pull cutthroat trout out of. I got a picture of me holding one that was almost 14 inches long. He was something else, and they fight. Gosh, they're fighters.
Fish, like I said, I mostly fish. I prefer brook, but because it's just hard to find them now. But I've caught a lot of rainbows and browns, and yeah, I've caught some nice browns, 20, 25 inches or so. Here in the area, but probably best fish I caught up at Jones Gap was probably about a 16-inch brown up there. I've caught bigger fish on the Holcomb and Overflow on the Georgia side of the Chattooga, and then I've been Moxon Creek and all up in that area, but it's just real hard to get up in there nowadays. And my feet just ain't there. It's kind of like you about getting off the ground. My feet ain't as sure as they used to, and the last thing I would do is slip and fall and break a leg somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, because I hardly ever fish with anybody. I always fish by myself.
Well, now, you know, another place that used to be absolutely fantastic was up in the upper part of the horse pasture. And that was back before they built the, what's that upper project that Duke Power did up above Joe Cassie?
Come back, talks away.
No, this is up there at the top of Joe Cassie. They had another small lake and another spillway they put in up there. Bad Creek Project is what they called it. And when they put that in, it just pretty much ruined the trout fishing back up in there on them mountain streams where it flowed into Joe Cassie.
I fished up at Bad Creek on Whitewater. It's kind of dangerous up in there now, but I fished up in there before. It's been quite a few years ago, but it can still, you know, there's still some other places to go up there, but it takes a lot of hiking, and like I said, you know, a lot of people just aren't interested in this. And when this, after fly fishing got so popular, when the film came out, you know, River Runs Through It, you know, a lot of people started fishing up in those areas and just trampled all over everything, and so I tried to fish places where nobody else was interested in fishing because the fish were small. They weren't interested in catching anything like that. But you know, I just like to catch brook trout, and there's about three streams in South Carolina, maybe four now, where they've electroshocked them out, taken all the other fish out, put brook in, and they, like I said, there's some bigger fish in there. I saw one that probably about 13 inches long, but. Yeah, the stream ain't about 4 feet wide, Steve. And if they see you, they'll hide under a rock or a bank, and they won't come out for 2 hours.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, back in the day when I used to fish up in the head of the horse pasture, it was still open enough to where you could see. And those people, back in those days, you know, they were side of the road fishermen. Where I'd take my Jeep, I had a Jeep, and we'd head back into the mountains. And I mean, we'd go until you could not go any further with a four-wheel drive Jeep, fully equipped. And then we'd walk another half a mile to get back in there. Some of the best fishing I've ever had.
All that stuff, but I fished all that area back in the probably about 66 or 67. So two or three of us that fished the area pretty heavily, and we go up there, we'd be the only thing. Like I said, once you get off the trail a little bit and get up the road a while, get up the stream a little ways, you don't see anybody. They fish where they can park the car and just walk out there and, you know, dump the worms in or whatever, crickets. And the Chattooga's like that now. I mean, it's just, there were tons of people, and at least there's still a lot of rafters. And the last time I was up there, Steve, I saw some river otters, which is just, you know, every time I see those things, I think about, you know, Waters Creek in Georgia. It was just one of the best. It was one of the best trophy trout fishers in the southeast. They got in, the river otters got in and killed them, and poachers got in and got the rest of them. And I don't think it's been restored since then. I don't think it's anywhere, anything like it was. But now the other place, though, that's a really good spot, I don't know where it is now, not when it first opened up, was that Smith Called Woods Wilderness area, up there around towards Helen. And it was owned by, you know, it used to be owned by the guy that was, he was either owner or publisher of the Atlanta Journal. He turned over to the state of Georgia. Now, we used to see some big fish. I mean, like 6-7 pounders caught out of that thing. They like daggum steelhead. They were so big.
Well, in my day, from about 73 or 4 on, that was just touristy. I don't care to go where all the tourists are packing in. Well, Jerry, I enjoy talking, bud. I've got to get out and unload some stuff in my building here. I had some work done in my building, and I got to unload a big old thing of sheetrock mud and some other things. Get ready to do some work. So, you try to behave yourself this evening. I will talk to you again soon. KN4VWA, I'll be clear after your final.
See you, Steve. Work. I try to avoid it whenever I can. Good luck. Hope everything works out and get everything fixed the way you want it. That's, when you start talking about sheetrock mud, that sounds like heavy work to me. Talk to you later, buddy. N4DJC, clear.